May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to speak to you about the first reading from Hosea. And I'm aware Hosea is speaking about something which we might say is rather delicate. And I'm aware... R-rated. Thank you, Rector. It's a little R-rated, not PG-13. And I'm aware there are young people here, so I'm just going to be careful how I say it, but you know what I'm talking about, if I can put it that way. So, marry a prostitute. There is advice you don't expect to hear from God in the Bible. But of course, this has been in the news this week, hasn't it? There was a case in which a couple of men who were transporting, I'm just going to say exploited women, okay? Were transporting exploited women, were convicted of doing this, and then their case was, they appealed to a higher court, and the judge, who's a woman, their argument, as I recall, was something like this: well, this is a profession, it's a form of work, and you are discriminating against people's opportunity to engage in a form of work. And we do hear that these days. Well, you know, this is a career path, you know, possible for some people. But the judge looked at the evidence and said what anybody who has ever had any association with this sort of thing knows, and she says, this is not a form of work, this is a form of exploitation. And did not look favorably on their argument, we'll just put it that way, and their conviction was upheld, as it should have been. Same as it ever was. So why does God tell the prophet Hosea to go and marry what we would refer to as an exploited woman? The question is always, of course, number one, who is doing the exploitation, and what kind of, let's say, promises or false narratives are being fed to a person in order to lead them to live a life of exploitation? Well, in this case, the exploiters were what I'd like to call Baal Incorporated, which is the great collection of shrines and priests and everyone involved, even the kingship itself was involved in this, great collection of an organization that held such women in thrall, we'll say. A big organization that had really taken over northern Israel. And if you're going to do this kind of thing, again, as everyone knows, what you have to do is you have to make a bunch of false promises to lure somebody into them. And you have to, here's a fancy way of putting it, you have to change their narrative. You have to change the way they understand their life and where it comes from and what the point of it is. So they have to change their narrative away from the narrative that they had been told, the story about their life that they had been told. And of course, the story about their life that they had been told was this. And Hosea uses a very unique word to describe this. God had liberated the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. But the word that Hosea uses is the word healed. He said God had healed the people of Israel from their slavery, which indicates that he wasn't just doing some kind of military act, that what he was doing was deeply personal on his part and on their part. He didn't just rescue them, he healed them. And he was in so what was the narrative that they were told? Well, that's the old story, right? I mean, whatever, you know, that's what the old folks believe, that God healed the people of Israel and now they have to live according to the way he set before him. What's the new story, the good story, this much more powerful story told by Baal Incorporated? Well, that is the God Baal will give you anything you could possibly desire. He will give you the fertility of the land. He'll give you wealth. He'll give you power. And he will give you a bunch of great new friends. Look at your old friends. What a bunch of losers they are. Look at these great new friends you can have, like the Assyrians. The Assyrians are great, you know? Okay, so they're sort of like Nazis, you know, and they kill everybody and destroy everybody and torture everybody and burn everything down. But, you know, come on. They're cool. They're cool people. And so God, in Hosea, God is involved in a battle against Baal, against Baal Incorporated, a very personal battle. And what he wants to do is his people have been fed a false narrative. They have been fallen into lies of exploitation. And as you know, stories that are lies always lead to, that are lies always lead to lives that are what? That are empty and disappointments, to say the best. So God is in a personal battle in Hosea. Very unique. It's a personal battle in Hosea against the god Baal and against those who are in his company, so to speak. And so it only makes sense that he would say to his prophet, go and marry one of these exploited women. Because that's what he is doing. I don't know if you ever saw, there's a movie from the 70s starring George C. Scott. It's called Hardcore. Anybody ever see that? Yeah, he plays this very devout, kind of Calvinist, middle-aged man from Michigan, which is where they all live, and lives a very, very, you know, strict kind of life, but his daughter gets caught up in this life, and he has to go and search for her, and he goes into the most you see him going to the most horrible, horrible situations that he would never even dreamt of, because he wants to go and find her and bring her back. And that's what we see in Hosea. Go marry one of these exploited women, because God says, this is what I'm doing. I'm searching and searching and searching, and I'm going to find them, and I'm going to bring them back. The Lord in Hosea is not just loving and merciful. He has another word for himself. He says about himself that he is fierce. And later on, he describes himself this way, that he's not just merciful, he is a lion of mercy. So think of putting those two words together. What's a lion? It's majestic, it's powerful. I don't think they're friendly. They're not. You wouldn't think of, oh, I want to go hug that lion. But they're a little frightening. And what is mercy? Well, mercy is seeking out and wanting to forgive and wanting to reconcile. So you put these two things together, a lion and mercy, and you're going, that's a powerful way God is describing himself, that he is a lion of mercy. His mercy is so unstoppable that it's almost frightening. And of course, how is Jesus described in the book of Revelation? He is described also as being a lion. He is the Lion of Judah. Again, we can see the same thing. His mercy is so powerful that there's almost something frightening about it. There are times when we need to walk away. I remember a friend of mine saying once, he was really dealing with a very difficult situation and he didn't know how to do it and it was impossible. And he was saying to a friend of his who was a Pentecostal, what would Jesus do? You know, I was talking to somebody earlier, but people used to have bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And he's going, I don't know. I don't know in this situation, what would Jesus do? And his friend said to him, well, first of all, you're not Jesus. Number one, you're not Jesus. There are times, because we are human, Hosea says this, because we are human beings, that we need to back away, because we do not have the capacity to deal with situations that are impossible, that are so destructive to us, they're gonna wreck us. But God says, here's the difference between you and me, says this in Hosea. You're human, and I'm not. I'm God. You're human, and I'm God. And although I may threaten to back away, and we heard it this morning, where God says, here's what I say to you from now on, I'm not your God, and you're not my people. How long did that last? How many verses did that last? You were reading? Not very many verses, right? And he goes, oh yeah, but you know, I'm going to bring everybody back together. God may threaten, but it's almost in Hosea as if God's mercy is so powerful that it even overwhelms himself. So that his mercy drives him to have no choice but to go and seek and find his people and free them from this false narrative, this new story that is a lie, and from the exploitation that we have been surrendered to under the evil powers, as St. Paul says, under the evil powers that have ruled this world. He seeks us until he finds us, and he is as fierce as a lion in his mercy. So what about for us? What does this have to do with us? Well, what's like that kind of exploitation for us? Well, we could say any false promises that we have believed and in any way surrendered our lives to, any stories about the world or our life which contradict those that we see in the Bible and lead us to live a different kind of life, any way of life that we surrender ourselves to or buy into or believe that ultimately leaves us empty. A few weeks ago, our rector was speaking about properly ordered loves and improperly ordered loves. Anything that leads us to put the things that should be way down here, to put them in first place, anything like that is comparable because it leaves us in the same situation, which is empty and at least disappointed. Again, false narratives and false stories. And what can we do if we ever find ourselves in a situation where we're going, yeah, I believed a bunch of lies, and here I am now, living out a bunch of lies. What can we do? Well, what did Jesus promise? I got it wrong with the kids, the snakes and the eggs and the whole thing. Ask me for an egg? Am I going to give you a snake? Ask me for mercy? What am I going to give you? The Lord Jesus is fierce in his mercy. He is fierce in his mercy. I'm not saying this authoritatively, but it comes to mind. There's very little about heaven and hell in the Bible. There's lots of references to it, but there's very little detail about heaven and hell in the Bible. What if hell is this? We know that God, that Jesus is a lion of mercy who will not leave us alone. What if hell is when we run from this mercy forever? And what if heaven is when we, I don't know if everybody knows this expression, we cry uncle. You know, I mean, crying uncle is kind of, you're wrestling with somebody and they're winning, you go, okay, uncle, I give up. What if heaven is when we say, I give up, I surrender to your mercy. What's he gonna do? Go, I'm sorry, you've got to pay. That's not the nature of mercy, is it? That is not the nature of mercy. God is a lion of mercy who wants to gather us together, pick us up off our feet, free us from the lies we've been told, and again, speak the words of truth to us and set us free and heal us from our slavery. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.